Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
All of your customs are being replaced. All of your beliefs are being replaced. Importing people who do not believe in the American dream, the Judeo-Christian beliefs that America has. Replacement society. So it was at the beginning of their dwellings there that they feared not the Lord. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them, which slew some of them. Wherefore they spake to the king of Assyria, saying, The nations which thou hast removed and placed in the cities of Samaria know not the manner of the God of the land. Therefore he hath sent lions among them. Behold, they slay them, because they know not the manner of the God. Lions aren't even indigenous to the area. And the king of Assyria commanded, saying, Carry thither one of the priests whom ye brought from thence. Let them go and dwell there. Let him teach them the manner of the God of the land. Okay, look at that. The Syrians are realizing there's something about that land. It's not normal. We moved our own people in there, but things aren't normal. There's a God in that land, and we know nothing about him. So find one of those priests that we carried off and send him back there and let him teach the people about the God of that land, so that maybe some of these mass lion slayings will go away. He's recognizing there is a God. And one of the priests, but do we have faith in the Levitical priests at this time? Well, they got the fancy robes. Mm-hmm. They no longer have the knowledge, just bits and pieces. Then one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel, taught them how they should fear the Lord. That is the first step in finding salvation, fear of the Lord. If you don't fear him, you won't respect him. If you don't fear him, there won't be any reason to subjugate yourself to him. Mm-hmm. Why would I subjugate to something that I have no fear of?
Right.
You know?
Right.
I had a guy ask me that one time. Why should I fear the Lord? Because if you don't, he has no power over you, but he does. That's the thing you don't understand. In your mind, he'll have no power over you, because the mind is contrary to the will of God. That's why the spirit inside is supposed to take control of the mind. And I think the spirit man inside that guy was asking me the question. Howbeit, every nation made gods of their own and put them in the houses of the high places, which the Samaritans had made, every nation in their cities wherein they dwelt. The men of Babylon made Succoth-Benoth, and the men of Cuth made Nergal, and the men of Hamath made a Ashima, made up gods. I'm sure they had demonic roots and had showed some sort of miracle powers to these people, because that's what the darkness does. The powers of darkness will show you things to lead you astray. And the Evites made Dibhaz and Tarkat, and the Sepharvites burnt their children in fire to Adramelech and Anamelech, the gods of Sephelvim. And they feared the Lord and made unto themselves, unto the lowest of them, priests of the high places, which sacrificed for them in the houses of the high places. So you could just go online and become a priest. Anyone. You didn't have to be of a special line, special bloodline. You didn't have to go and have schooling. You just applied for your certificate and you got it.
As long as they had a laser printer.
That's right. Yes. Yes. The camel mail would bring it a couple weeks later. They feared the Lord and served their own gods after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence. And to this day, they do after the former manners. They fear not the Lord, neither do they after their statutes, or after their ordinances, or after the law and commandments, which the Lord commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel, with whom the Lord had made a covenant, and charged them, saying, Ye shall not fear other gods, nor bow yourselves to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them. But the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt with great power and a stretched out arm, him shall ye fear, and him shall ye worship, and to him shall ye do sacrifice. Shall have no other gods before me. And do not fear any of those if you walk and with your heart toward me, because they'll have no power over you. But look at these kings. They don't even know God Jehovah anymore. And all of these other nations have power over them. All of these other gods have power over them, and they fear them. And the statutes and the ordinances and the law and the commandment which he wrote for you, ye shall observe to do forevermore. Ye shall not fear other gods. And the covenant that I have made with you, ye shall not forget, neither shall ye fear other gods. The Lord your God ye shall fear, and he shall deliver you out of the hand of all your enemies. Howbeit, they did not hearken, but they did after their former manner. So these nations feared the Lord and served their graven images, but their children and their children's children, as did their fathers, so did they unto this day. And after he had given that covenant, he told them time and time again, tell your children, do not let a generation grow up without knowing the covenants I have made with you and my statutes. But fathers and mothers have not taught their children. I'm guilty of this. You got to impart your knowledge of God onto your offspring. Otherwise, they will grow up and find their own gods. Chapter 18, book of 2 Kings. It came to pass in the third year of Hosea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. Mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Hey, there we go.
Yeah.
God's kicking back according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places and brake the images, cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. You remember that? Mm-hmm. Remember when they were in the wilderness? They were disobeying God. Imagine that. Children of Israel disobeying. Right. Again. And God sent serpents into the camp.
The fiery ones.
Yes. They started biting everyone. And death was in their bite. Did they look to God? No. Cried out to Moses. And God says, you know what? I'm going to do a ridiculous thing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to show these people how ridiculous they are. Make a brass snake, Moses. A brass snake? We're not supposed to have idols. No, just go with me on this one. Make a brass snake, put it on the end of a stick, and plant it in the ground so that, you can see it for a couple miles away. This is a big congregation at this time. And tell them, if they get bit by one of these serpents, just look toward that brass snake.
Just look at it.
Yeah. And you won't die. And they did it. And they looked at the brass snake when they were bitten. And they didn't die. A religious act. Nothing to do with God. Look to God when you need something. Look to God for your salvation. Look to God for your healing. No. These people proved time and time again they did not want to follow God with their heart. They wanted a religious act to make themselves feel holy. Oh yeah, we're good. You get bit by the snake, just look toward the snake. Yeah. That thing has power.
Yes. Yeah, you said it perfectly.
That thing has power, yes. Yeah. That's like when they'd forgotten all about God and they were getting beat up on the battlefield. The king says, hey, you remember that golden box? What was it called? Yeah. That ark thing, yes. Yeah. Go get it. It will save us. It will save us. Religion will not save you. Only God will save you. God hates religion. Come burn my studio down. I don't care. God hates religion. He wants your heart. He created the law to show you how absurd it was to try to make yourself holy with your hands. Religion is making yourself holy with your hands. He wants your heart. And Jesus proved that. Jesus kept the law. All right, let me hear from you out there. Did Jesus not keep the law? Bible says he did. The only way he could be the perfect sacrifice was to be sinless. He kept the law. Wait a minute. Jesus worked on Sunday. Not Sunday. That's the Southern Baptist Sabbath. Jesus worked on the Sabbath. Wait a minute. That's breaking the law. And everything I know about the law says it's rigid. You break it, you've broken it. But if you study and you look all along in here, there are examples of the same thing where the heart overrode the law. A heart following after God trumped the law every time. Christ went to the cross absolutely sinless, although he had worked on the Sabbath, because his heart was at 100% following God. Totally erased the penalties of the law because of the heart. God wants your heart. He doesn't want your religious processes. So he removed the high places and break the images and cut down the groves, break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense unto it. So they had elevated it to the statute of a god. And he called it Nehushtan.
Oh. He named it.
He even gave it a name. Yeah. Yeah, let's go pray to that snake on a stick, Nehushtan. Yeah. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. And you know, it took me years to figure out the story behind that brass serpent on a stick. Because God gave them a symbol to look to him. No, not to look to him. He gave them an absurdity. You know what? You don't want to have faith in me. Have faith in a piece of brass on a stick.
Made in the image of something that's in earth.
Yes.
I'm saying, like, which you're talking about with the law.
Yeah,
part.
Like, absolutely.
So they have another image of something. Yeah.
Some religious, I'll give you a religious task to do. You won't look to me. Okay, so I'll give you a religious task to do. That's absurd. And every time you look to it for your healing, I'm going to sit back and chuckle at how fickle you are, how stiff-necked you are, and how obtuse you are in not understanding that all I want you to do is look toward me. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him. This king was on the right path. He was attempting to put everything right in his kingdom. But, there's always a but, kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. He smote the Philistines, even unto Gaza and the borders thereof, with the tower of the watchmen and the fenced cities. Look at that. The last four kings were getting beat up and overrun by their surrounding nations because they did not follow God. This king starts to follow God, and he puts it back on them. The power of God allows him to take his lands back, to overthrow these shadow governments that have been placed on him. Christian, you look to God to fix things in your life and your family. Don't look to anything in the world. Oh, I got to go see a psychiatrist. I'm having some difficulties. And me and the wife aren't getting along. We got to go some marriage counseling. They got a 6 visits for a price of 4 going on there in Somerville. Yeah, well, that guy, it's not going to help you. I'm sorry. I don't care what kind of degree he has on the wall. You point your heart toward God, things will get better in your marriage. You point your heart toward God, things will get better in your family. Point your heart toward God. Your children will know it, and they will follow after you. They may appear to go out on their own for a while, but if you put it in them, they'll come back, just like the prodigal son. The seeds were there because the father had planted them. Came to pass in the fourth year of King Hezekiah, which was the seventh year of Hosea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against Samaria and besieged it. And at the end of 3 years, took it, even in the sixth year of Hezekiah, that was in the ninth year of Hosea, king of Israel, Samaria was taken. And the king of Assyria did carry away Israel into Assyria, put them in Hela, and then Habor by the river of Gozan, and in the cities of the Medes, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed his covenant, and all that Moses the servant of the Lord commanded, and would not hear them nor do them. So the king of Assyria comes and carries them away, because they're not following God, they're not God's servants. But who is God's servant at that point? The king of Assyria. He's doing God's will, because he is dealing out the punishment that God wants to put on these people for not following him. Yeah. So don't get mad at the manager of the finance company when he comes and repossesses your car, because he's carrying out the judgment against your life for not following God. Had you been following God, maybe you wouldn't have bought that expensive car anyway, or maybe you'd be able to pay for it a little better. God will make a way for everything you need in your life if you point your heart toward him.
From Hebrew, that means the great serpent.
Really? So they named it what it is, the great serpent.
Yeah, that's kind of eerie.
So the brass serpent that saved right. Our forefathers.
Right.
Ah. So. Yeah. So I guess it had a history. It had the carnal history. It didn't have the spiritual history, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had no backstory. Yeah.
They accepted it for the absurdity that God gave it to them for. Ended up worshiping for the absurdity that it was, a piece of brass.
Mm-hmm.
Now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them. And Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to king of Assyria to Lachish, saying, I have offended. Return from me. That thou which puttest on me will I bear. I accept your subjugation. The king of Assyria appointed unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. And Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasuries of the king. So this king comes down and says, all right, I'm going to thump you on the head. And he's, wait a minute. I have gold and silver in God's house. I'm going to take it out of God's house. I'm going to go steal from the house of God and pay you a ransom, because I really don't want to go through this. I'd rather steal from God.
Kind of makes me think of the old the mafioso, like, for protection later.
What it was.
You want to be protected?
Protected, buddy, yeah. That may come around every Friday here. See? That golden spoon I got you gave me out of the house of God, every Friday I'm going to come by, and I expect to get another one.
Mm-hmm.
Or else.
If not, I'm going to need two spoons
the next right.
time.
That's right, yeah. You like these plate glass windows in your shop? Yeah. You want them to stay there? Come up with the spoons. At that time, did Hezekiah cut off the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord, taking the temple apart now, because he's running out of gold that he can steal from God. And from the pillars, which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid and gave it to the king of Assyria. King of Assyria sent Tartan and Rapsiris and Rabshakeh to Lachish to King Hezekiah with a great host against Jerusalem. That's a very interesting story coming up. And they went up, came to Jerusalem, and they were come up. They came and stood by the conduit of the upper pool, which is in the highway of the fuller's field. When they had called to the king, there came out to them Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and Jonah the son of Asaph, the recorder, So they call to the king. These captains of Assyria call to the king. And he sends out his top three officials. And Rabshakeh said unto them, "Speak ye now to Hezekiah. Thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is there within thou trustest? Go ask your king, who does he trust for his salvation from us? Thou sayest, but they are but vain words. I have counsel and strength for the war. Now on whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? I have come to you with thousands of soldiers. We are much stronger than you. So in whom do you trust that you think you can rebel against me? I sent my man around for the tribute that you're supposed to give us. And you decided that you weren't going to give us anymore. So now is the day of judgment for you. Now behold, thou trustest upon the staff of this bruised reed." He's talking about Egypt there. You think Egypt's going to come and help you? That's a third world country now. They're not what they used to be. "Even upon Egypt, on which if a man lean it, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh king of Egypt unto all that trust on him. And even if he does help you, he will take control of you afterwards. But if you say unto me, 'We trust in the Lord our God,' is not that he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away and hath said unto Judah and Jerusalem, 'Ye shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem'?" So this guy doesn't know, he doesn't know the Judeo worship practices. When the last king, the good king, tore down the high places, he thinks, "Oh, he's torn down all those worship sites to your God. Is that who you're trusting in? And now you only got one spot in Jerusalem." Yeah. How can one altar help you? You know, you had 4,000 altars before. Obviously, the more altars, the more power of God?
You're more connected.
Yeah. God is everywhere. You have altars everywhere. "But if you say unto me, 'We trust in the Lord our God,' is not that he whose high places, whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away and hath said unto Judah and Jerusalem, 'Ye shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem'? Now therefore, I pray thee, give pledge to my lord the king of Assyria, and I will deliver thee 2,000 horses, that thou be able on thy part to set riders upon them. Surrender unto us now, and we'll bless you. We'll give you 2,000 horses. I mean, what's left of that country? Remember, they were carried away. Mm-hmm. A few stragglers have gotten back. They've tried to set up the nation again, and they're very poor. So, yeah, serve my Lord, and we'll bless you. How then wilt thou turn away the face of one captain of the least of my master's servants? Put thy trust on Egypt for chariots and for horsemen. And I now come up without the Lord against this place to destroy it. The Lord said to me, 'Go up against this place.'" You see that capital L there? Mm-hmm. This is the captain of the host of Assyria. God told him. That's not his Lord sitting in Assyria. That's God. God is using this man. This is a servant of God coming to rain down wrath on the Israelites because they will not follow God. The Lord said to me, "Go up against this land and destroy it." Then said Elikam, the son of Hilkiah, and Shebna, and Jonah, and unto Rabshakeh, "Speak, I pray thee, to thy servants in the Syrian language." Hey, quiet down. Don't speak to us in Hebrew. This guy was multilingual. This captain of the host, Rabshakeh. He's quiet, quiet. We don't want the guys on the wall to hear. Let's talk Syrian. We all talk Syrian here. Yeah, let's talk Syrian. "I pray thee to thy servants in Syrian language, for we understand it, and talk not with us in the Jews' language, in the ears of the people that are on the wall." You know, we got soldiers on the wall. We don't want them to loosen their bowels and just decide there's no way they can fight. Rabshakeh said unto them, "Halt, my master sent me to thy master, and to speak these words. Hath he not sent me to the men which sit on the wall, that they may eat their own dung and drink their own piss with you? You guys are under siege. Those soldiers need to know everything they're up against. You're trying to, like every other government in the world, try to keep it from the people. What's actually getting ready to happen? I'm sure these three would have turned around and went back. And when the guys on the wall would say, hey, what's going on? He said, oh, they're just, they're out on maneuvers. They're just practicing and everything's good. Stay where you're at. And Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language and spake, saying, hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Syria. Hearken not to Hezekiah. For thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present, and come out to me, and then eat ye every man of his own vine, and every one of his fig tree, and drink ye every one the waters of his cistern. Forget your king. Come out and be one of us. We'll make you one of our provinces, and you will serve the king of Assyria. Until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of corn and wine, land of bread and vineyards, a land of oil, olive, and of honey, that ye may live and not die, and hearken not unto Hezekiah, when he persuadeth you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered at all his land out of the hand of the king of Assyrians? Look what we have done to all of these other nations around you who serve other gods. None of their gods were able to help them. What do you think your God can help you? Where are the gods of the Hamath and of Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim, Hena, and Iva? Have they delivered Samaria out of mine hand? No! I smashed all of them. Who are they among all the gods of the countries that have delivered their country out of the mine hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of mine hand? But the people held their peace and answered him not a word. But the king's commandment was, saying, answer him not. Then came Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, which was over the household, and Shebna, the scribe, and Jonah, the son of Asaph, the recorder, to Hezekiah with their clothes rent, and told him the words of Rabshakeh. All right, we have a remnant of the northern kingdom surrounded by their enemies. And their enemies were sent there by God, capital L. Look very closely when you read this book, every word. In the King James Version, which is very unique, the most accurate English version, not telling you that's the only one you should read, most accurate English version will give you things. The L was capitalized, and Rabshakeh said, the Lord, capital L, sent me. That was God, not his king. His king sent him, but God backed it up, said, go and do this thing. So, the adversary is there. The king is holding on to the remnant of his knowledge of God, just a little bit, telling his people, God will deliver you from the hand of this man. And we'll see what happens next time on Between the Lines with David and Jonathan on WBFF 97.7. But it all comes down to the heart. Will the king have the heart? Is the king following with his heart Hezekiah? It's all about the heart and how much you're following God, you know? And he does not hold you accountable if you don't reach 100%. He just wants you to make a daily effort, Christian. Get up in the morning and do the best that you can. Be the best person that you can. And when you fail, get up tomorrow and do better. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.